It's football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
All right, we'll get to the highlights of the U.S. women squeaking out a 13-0 victory over Thailand today. Also, the Rockies with a huge win over those stupid Cubs and their dumb fans. More of that hurt, hopefully, with Lambert the Magnificent later tonight. But the schedule has come out for training camp. And 9:15 to noon are most practices. However, there are five practices that are 2:15 to 4:15 p.m. or 2 to 4:45. The 2:15, by the way, you should circle this one. July 27th, a free open practice at the stadium at Mile High. Broncos Stadium at Mile High. I don't want you to confuse that with the other stadiums at Mile High.
That will be one of the best practices to go to.
Why?
They have a day off, then a couple days to prep for Atlanta, I'd assume. So that, the 27th, you're in, you know, 10 days into camp. That should be the best practice to go to. You'd assume that it'd be full pads. It should be a competitive. The players will be excited to be at Mile High. That would be the one I would go to. I'd skip the Dove Valley practices. The training camp practice I'd go to July 27th.
Well, you know, a lot of people go because they want to get autographs at the Dove Valley stuff. I don't know what the autograph opportunities will be at the stadium. We'll see.
But if you want to go for the football aspect of it only,
yeah,
that practice right there, traditionally, that would be with Mike Shanahan. We'd be doing goal line live, things like that.
Well, it'll be interesting how they do it because with the stadium practices before, they've given each offensive group, usually it's been three, like a series.
Like, well, you're talking different coaches, though. We don't.
Yeah, we'll see.
I just assume.
You're right. I have no idea.
If this was a Mike Shanahan-led practice, this would be the biggest practice of the training camp.
Who knows how Vic will run it? Because Vic has changed. Vic Fangio has changed other things. Here's another significant change. No scheduled walkthroughs. Now, fans can't go to the walkthroughs anyway. But usually when this schedule comes out, it's like practice in the morning, walk through from 5 to 6, something like that. The media is allowed to attend the walkthroughs, which tend to be ridiculous, boring, doesn't seem all that productive. It seems like a mystery, like, why the walkthroughs even exist, to be honest.
Really?
It's
a mental exercise.
To us uninformed media people.
Can't you watch a walkthrough and figure out who's getting screamed at for walking through the wrong route?
Not been like that the past couple of years. The past couple of years for walkthroughs have been... What was the last walkthrough you went to? Seriously.
Man, that was maybe 2008.
Yeah, it's now, Shanahan was yelling at people at walkthroughs.
You can.
That's fine. I believe you. But I'm telling you, walkthroughs, I've been to tons of them. Nobody's getting screamed at for anything.
I'd never seen anyone get yelled at a walkthrough like George Foster did one year. We had a walkthrough.
Well, I would have paid to see that.
It was in that, where the weight room is, that little turf field back there.
Yeah.
And he went out there and he wore boots, like Timberlands.
What?
To the walkthrough.
Wow.
And then he screwed up a couple plays and Shanahan laid into him.
Wow. No, I haven't seen that. I mean, I've never seen anything like that. Now, I was told, because I did some digging into this, it doesn't mean there's a scheduled team period for these morning sessions from 4 to 5 every day. A scheduled team period. So I was told sometimes they will go out onto the field and go through a walkthrough. But not necessarily every day, and certainly not scheduled as tightly as it has been. So this is another really kind of cool example, Tommy, of Vic Fangio doing things the way he wants them to do, and not as rigid as, no, we always do it this way, so let's always do it this way. I mean, this walkthrough thing has been rigidly scheduled from McDaniels. I mean, I don't know about Shanahan.
Well, it took the place of, no, that we didn't have, we'd have walkthroughs during the season in the mornings, but we had two-a-days, we had practices in the afternoon. They usually unpadded But you remember those practices.
Of course.
They were actual football practices.
Real practices.
So in lieu of that, they had the walkthrough because after 2011, the
couldn't
new OTA,
right.
They put a walkthrough in there instead.
But here's what Fangio was saying.
I had a hard time believing he's not going to utilize his time the best way he sees fit. I just think he's trying to be not coy about it, but maybe this is some secrecy. Maybe it's more detailed game planning. He doesn't want the media to report on it,
He doesn't have a choice. If a practice during training camp, it has
it's
to
not
be
a practice.
Okay.
It's a walkthrough. It can be whatever. They can name it differently.
It can't be a walkthrough or the media can be there.
It's Chris Harris. It's not a renegotiation. It's an amendment.
You're probably right.
They probably want to keep you out.
I never go to these things. We're on the air. I'm not a factor here. It's been a long time since I participated or went to walkthroughs. McDaniels used to do them late. McDaniels used to do them like 6 to 7 p.m. McDaniels kept the guys out there freaking. He killed guys. He kept them out there all day, every day. Every time you could be in pads, you were in pads. He was brutal. So, I mean, some of my memories of walkthroughs is like Timmy Terrific, you know, throwing at goalposts like Don Quixote, trying to assail windmills. Did I ever tell you what Tebow used to do at the end of practice? Like at the end of the walkthrough practice?
Was it a throwing for accuracy type?
Tom, it was unreal. So it was kind of cool because the sun's kind of going down. It's the end of the day. I mean, nobody's out there except for the Dove Valley Rabbits. By the way, fewer of those since they got rid of the trees. But there were a lot of trees back then. And I just would sit out there because it was kind of on my way home. Or we would be broadcasting out there and I would just have nothing else to do. I'd just kind of hang out. Multiple times I would see Tebow get a couple of footballs by himself. Or maybe there's a equipment guy fetching the footballs for him. And you know how they had field goal posts, like kind of around, like four field goal posts if they had two fields going?
Yeah.
He would just take a football after throwing the ball like 1,000 times that day already. And he would go around and try to hit every goal post, like at a full circle of the field. And he wouldn't go off the field until he hit like the last goal post.
Sorry about that.
Are you making fun of him? Are you?
On one hand.
Because you were talking about.
On one hand,
Ryan O'Reilly.
Yes. On one hand, no, I loved it because it was like Ryan O'Reilly flipping pucks into the bucket 40 minutes after the practice is over by himself. On one hand, it was exactly like that. But when I would bring this up to like football people, they would say, you never want to just throw at inanimate objects as a quarterback because that's just not football. You don't get to throw to targets that are just standing still.
Maybe it's a cool down.
I don't know what
he must have done it at Florida. It's something he's probably already always has done.
Maybe. But it's like the same thing that makes you love Tim Tebow. Like, look at this guy. He's just getting everything he can out of this whole thing.
Was Robbie directing him?
Robbie was wearing a scarf and he'd be in the shadows making sure that Tim didn't talk to any of the actual players on the team. Just Robbie. They'd ferry him back to his mansion in Cherry Hills Village because you know all the players really respect rookies who live in mansions in Cherry Hills Village. Nothing like bonding with the fellas, like living in that mansion in Cherry Hills Village.
Jake lived over there.
When he was a rookie?
He wasn't a rookie, though.
Rookie. Vaughn had like a sublet for like 6 months when he was a rookie. Vaughn Miller. You can buy mansions and castles. You certainly did.
What the hell is this?
Siri just picked up on Cherry Hills Village. All right, we got to take a break.
Is that Tom Cruise's daughter talking?
Siri. Heard Tom's training.
Has he accepted?
Do it!
You ready for football to get going?
Finally.
Does it feel like when the schedule for camp comes out? Does it sort of?
No, for me, it was always the British Open.
The British Open?
Right.
Dude, I think camp's going to open in the middle of the British Open.
Right after the British Open, I always get a pit in my stomach for training camp.
The Rockies, fantastic last night. All you idiot Cubs fans or all the people listening that hate those idiot Cubs fans, we got your back. And yeah, we'll have the highlight of every single goal from the U.S. women beating Thailand coming up next.
Now back to The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
We're going through some of our favorite, wow, that was something.
Wow.
All right, let me do the highlights first, and then I'll fill you on a couple of my, you don't know all these training camp stories, which surprises me.
Lightning.
All right, I'll
walkthroughs.
I'll tell you. I know it's been a while for you for training camp. At least 3 years, right? 4 years?
Yeah, 2013 was the last one.
Wow, really? Holy cow. Mm-hmm. Man, oh man. Is that the last time you were over at Get Out? Really? Well, that'll be kind of dramatic, won't it?
Will
on,
it?
On, yeah, a little bit. On July
18th?
18th. Oh, you're going to go. Okay.
I'm going to go.
All right.
I'm excited to go.
Here are the highlights of U.S. women beating Thailand today. All right. There you go. Those are the highlights.
Spoiler alert.
13-0. Sweet victory. Would you like to hear the highlights again, just real quick?
Love to.
All right, you get it after that. Seriously, the final score is 13-0.
Yay! We beat Thailand.
Who's next, Richie? Who do they play next?
Who's in their group? I got an argument with Richie today. He was... trying to convince me that the women's U.S. women's team could beat the men's team or could be competitive with the men's team.
No, I didn't say they could win. No, I just said I would be competitive. You've got to be kidding me.
You know what's funny? I have actually already have highlights from the future because they set this up, and this is what it sounds like with U.S. men playing U.S. women. Who said it would be competitive? Richie said it would be competitive.
Yeah. Yeah. I said I wanted to see them play each other.
Why?
I don't know. I just think it'd be fun.
Duke could beat the Cavs, and Alabama could beat whoever.
I never said that.
Alabama.
You're that guy, though.
Who is the worst team in the
NFL?
You're
the guy that said they should stop scoring goals.
Yes.
That's lame.
What are you learning
They don't know the other team anything.
It wasn't so much about stop scoring goals. It was stop celebrating the 13th goal.
So they have to stop having fun the way they want to have fun to make other people feel better.
Yes.
Are you really having fun at that point?
I think they were having a great time.
That's the problem.
I mean, we get it. You're better than Thailand. No, it was... Listen, if you want to score the goals, fine. But... to your point, you can score a goal and just give it a light fist pump and a high five, and let's go back and score another goal. I didn't see them jumping up and down because I was driving in here.
Someone on the text line said they were dancing on the sideline because they broke a record or something. Like, you know, break the record against Sweden, then celebrate. Chile? Oh, watch out.
You know what I say when we play Chile? I want my baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back.
That's stupid.
I know.
Delicious.
Thank you. Emmanuel Sanders here tomorrow, and Johnny Hart, Johnny Love, went down to the home run hitting contest thing that was happening today with a bunch of... Jano won it. Jano won the home run hitting contest. Fantastic.
If we had 22 Janos, we would be all right.
Yeah, all right.
Was Garrett Bowles not invited?
I don't know.
He won the field day home run derby.
Johnny shot a little video with Emmanuel. I assume Johnny's going to post that. And he asked Emmanuel, are you and D-Mac friends? And Emmanuel definitely hesitated on that. But then he said, you know, we text back and forth, which is true.
Well, he hesitated. That's a good at least he was thinking. He didn't just come out and say no.
No, because we do, in my world.
You're not friends.
Dude, texting is about as close as I get with anybody. I love our little relationship off the air. Because just all little snide text messages back and forth that I find fantastic.
That doesn't make us friends.
In my world, it does. Pretty close to best friends. I tell you what, if you're going to sit there and text with me back and forth, you're my pal. If you want me to come to your party,
it's usually about
I
your
hate
stupid
you.
It's usually about your stupid lasers and baseball and umps and the pitcher can't step off the rubber and nobody can leave the batter's box and
fun stuff.
Yeah. Let's see the because the pitcher can't step off the rubber and him get, you know, the catcher gets crossed up and the robot takes a 95 mile an hour fastball off the takes the head off the robot. Then where we're at.
Still buddies.
But the game sped up, so that's all good.
So as far as I'm concerned, yeah, if you ask, are you friends? I'm as friendly with Emmanuel as I am with anybody. So I really don't want to hang out with you. But I'll text with you all day. Fantastic. I mean, if you really want to hang out.
Texting is the least form of friendship.
Yeah. Yeah, that's as far as I go.
Okay.
I mean, maybe a breakfast. Maybe. I got a guy. He's a great guy. I like him a lot. He invites me to play poker at least, you know, once every other month or so. And I've told him no for like 6 straight years. The fact that invites still come is just staggering to me. I got a wife. I got kids.
People are talking about the goal differential like...
And by the way,
the women's soccer team.
But first of all, so stop. Don't try to move on. There's no way you're different than me in this department.
I don't consider someone I just solely randomly text a close friend or friend.
Well, what do you got to do to be a friend in your world?
A workmate. Get drunk together. That's friendship.
Clearly, that's something that we can negotiate.
If you think you're texting Emmanuel once in a while and you guys are friends.
In my world?
Emmanuel didn't say, yes, we're friends.
Of course. I understand why other people in their worlds, you know, find that very superficial. We'll talk to him tomorrow. Yes, goal differential. Yes.
I understand that. It's the celebrating after the 13th. If the women's team is so good, does it really matter, goal differential? If they win their group?
No, it does not. And
are we worried about tiebreakers here?
No, we are not. You don't
need... celebrating. 13-0.
Yeah, I'm going to assume the best team in the world is going to cruise through their group.
Celebrating your 5th goal of the game. Yay.
5th goal, I'm fine with. 5th goal, yeah.
No, your fifth goal.
Oh,
your own fifth
personal
goal.
Fifth goal.
Right, for the 13th goal.
Alex Morgan, she did that today. How did she celebrate it? What exactly did she do?
Jumping up and down, hugs, smile, laughing. How else do you celebrate?
Did she do?
She didn't Brandy Chastain it.
Did she do a round off to a back handspring?
No, but she was tired from doing that before. In goal number 12 and 11.
Did she really do a round off to a back handspring?
No, she did like, she grabbed onto the goal, the crossbar, and did like a flip.
She did?
No.
She threw a little parkour out on the field?
Yeah.
The celebrating.
Man, you're celebrating your 13th goal, the first game in group play against Thailand. Shouldn't their expectations be a little higher? As the favorites, the defending champions, than to celebrate the 13th goal like it's the first?
Well, if they didn't like it so much, they should have stopped them from scoring.
They were trying!
They could not!
I felt bad for those
that is
Thailand
the point.
Women.
The tie.
I want to be polite here, but they were definitely much shorter than the U.S. women in total.
They couldn't stop them.
They tried! They were throwing their little Thailand bodies around all over the place. They couldn't do anything about it.
Keep celebrating. Man, people are mean.
They should have to apologize for being good.
The goalie's parents. How about them? They probably thought they had a chance.
Yeah, they probably paid for a ticket to France. I'm sure they practiced just as hard. Wow. We beat a country with the same population as Oregon. I mean, if all the U.S. women were only coming from Oregon, don't you think we'd have some problems? Actually, I have no idea how many people are in Thailand. I'm going to guess it's like Oregon. We'll look into that during the break. But when we come back, Cecil Lammy gives us a preview of what training camp, what we could expect, some of the changes, what does he make of it? Is it a big deal? Is it not a big deal? Does Vic Fangio just love lightning? Details next.
It's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
All right, let's go inside the Broncos with our own Cecil Lammy from 104.3thefan.com. Cecil, why don't you give us a little update? What are you cooking up on 104.3thefan.com these days?
Yeah, just sent in and should be posting to our website very soon. It's about the Broncos and, well, the fact that they're not going to follow the NFL's latest trend. This all started on Monday when Eagles quarterback coach Press Taylor said that he feels the NFL's next big trend would be getting multiple quarterbacks on the field at the same time, like the Saints do with Taysom Hill, right? Having two QBs out there making, you know, a Philly special, although I know that was Trey Burton, but he was a former quarterback. But this is a trend that other teams, including the AFC West, are looking for. The Chiefs have this kid named John Lovett, incredibly athletic Princeton quarterback. The Chargers drafted Easton Stick from North Dakota State. He's a runner more than he is a passer, and they got Tyrod Taylor to be the, you know, veteran backup behind Phillip Rivers. So all of these teams are looking at these type of quarterbacks, except for Denver. So I just explored that, and the reasons why Denver isn't going to do it. Their offense isn't built to do it. As great as it would be to have like a Taysom Hill type of prospect on this team, they simply don't. And they're not really geared that way. They don't want to be geared that way. And, well, that's where the debate comes in on whether or not that's a good thing.
Cecil, why would a team like the Chiefs take Mahomes out?
Put him out there as a receiver, some sort of changeup. Now, John Lovett probably isn't going to make the team. I would say maybe on the practice squad there. Easton Stick with the Chargers probably would. And you could see, you know, getting a guy like Rivers, although splitting him out as a receiver wouldn't make a lot of sense. And we've seen this before with Joe Flacco last year with Lamar Jackson in those 9 games that Flacco started. Jackson was out there for roughly 100 snaps, and he also had, I think it was 8 passing attempts. During that time, none of those passes went to Joe Flacco. So teams are going to try this. The Chiefs seem like they're a team that's going to take a look at it and try to get their own version of Taysom Hill. It is kind of the trendy thing to do in the NFL, and the Broncos aren't going to have anything to do with it.
I'll tell you what, if Phillip Rivers splits out an Easton Stick as a quarterback and teams know that they're going to run the ball, that's dangerous for Phillip Rivers. That dude chirps more than anybody, and it doesn't – during a running play, he's a blocker, so the defensive players, Vontaze Burfict in Oakland, will do something. I think it's dangerous to have these immobile quarterbacks just split out, basically offering it's 11-on-10 at that point, and it's very predictable what the offense – even with Easton Stick, a proven winner at North Dakota State, but you know what you're going to get there.
Right, and that's one of the reasons why with Joe Flacco, you're not going to do that. I mean, Drew Lock is not ready. He's not ready at all. He's not even close. There is no quarterback controversy. There's no debate, and I like Drew Lock. I like him as a prospect. I think there's something there with the kid. He works hard, all these sorts of things. Got great tools, but he's not yet put it all together, of course. So, you know, having Flacco out there, some sort of gimmicky thing, Flacco gets hurt, all of a sudden you're stuck going to Drew Lock. I don't think Kevin Hogan makes his team, so you're stuck going to Lock in a, you know, quote-unquote win-now mode. I don't think Broncos want to do that. Plus, looking at Rich Scangarello and just kind of the history of the Kyle Shanahan tree here, they don't do that. They don't. No. Even when Matt Ryan was filling there with football, had almost 5,000 yards and 38 passing touchdowns in 2016, the Falcons didn't have anyone else throw the ball.
No,
so it's just something they won't do.
You just need a – you need a quarterback like – well, you could do it with Lamar Jackson if you had another guy as well. You could do it with Russell Wilson.
They've got
Wilson.
Trace McSorley. Yeah, they've got Trace McSorley that took the kid out of Penn State who's that, you know, teams asked him to play tight end. I think it was the Chargers off the top of my head.
Trace McSorley would be perfect for being on the field at the same time as Lamar Jackson. You do a lot of stuff after that. You know, Taysom Hill is not the backup quarterback. Taysom Hill is just a player. The backup quarterback is Teddy Bridgewater.
Right. Right. So, and there was actually a play last year against the Vikings where they had three quarterbacks on the field because Hill, Bridgewater, and Breeze were on the field.
Why would you keep Flacco on the field? Why wouldn't you just replace him? If Lamar Jackson is the quarterback, put a skilled position in there. You're losing.
I agree.
It's 11 on 10.
I couldn't agree more. I love how Taysom Hill's being used. Love it. But it has to, you have to see how he's being used. Like, they are not afraid for him to get hurt. You know, he is blocking people. He is hitting people. He works on special teams. I mean, this is exactly what Tebow could have done to keep going in the NFL. And, you know, he wasn't willing to do it, and so he's gone, and he's a minor league baseball player.
I hope the Chiefs take Mahomes out at quarterback. That'd be fantastic.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Like, how often is, when Taysom Hill's in, is Drew Brees still on the field?
Sometimes, yeah. They'll line up Brees as a wide receiver.
Wide receiver. But you know they're just going to run it, and they just keep one guy away, so now it's 10 on 10. Right? I mean, essentially.
10 and a half.
Basically. But 11 on 10 even, because the guy blocking Brees knows he's not going to catch the pass.
Well, right, but he's got to respect the fact that he's...
Do you?
Yes.
A little bit. That's why it's a half.
What, would you play like zone coverage? Just sort of have an eye on him?
No, not even an eye. Just peripheral.
He's there?
Yeah. He's not going anywhere.
Whatever. I don't know. I like how they use
That's
it.
That's a lot of money out there. You don't want to... He's not doing anything.
See, so what do you think of the training camp schedule?
Yeah, training camp schedule is interesting. Probably going to be moved inside on those afternoon practices. We know how August is with thunderstorms. So, you know, we'll see. But I'm ready. Chomping at the bit.
Yeah, by the way, you know, when we bring up, like, this issue, it's not because of the players or the media. The players or the media are not going to be impacted by this whatsoever. It's the four practices that are going to be out in the afternoon that could impact the fans that are there. Maybe. But, Cecil, how many lightning delays would you say happen on average between 2 and 5 o'clock at Dove Valley in the month of July?
August? What, half a dozen, you know, maybe more, maybe 10. But it's kind of a common occurrence. And if you take the day off work, you go into this afternoon practice, and then it gets lightning delayed out, and they move inside, and you can't watch it, like... Yeah, it's kind of bad news for the Broncos fan.
You say it's not a big deal for the players, but I would much prefer to be outside on the grass. It's more natural. You don't get – it's a different kind of work, especially when you've been doing 9 a.m. practices every day outside to go inside. It's different inside. I don't think you get as good a work inside as you do out. And I hate the turf.
Kubiak used to take him inside just because.
He didn't want his dye getting wet and running down his face.
There you go. All right, Cecil. We'll look for your next explosive, investigative piece of journalism on 104.3thefan.com shortly.
Be good, fellas.
Thank you, Cecil. Bye. Is that explosive, Cecil? Again, let's go back to the U.S. women. They're still playing Thailand. Was it great watching Cargo play for the Cubs? Well, that's a tricky one to think about. We'll dig into it next.
You're listening to The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
I'm such a big Carlos Gonzalez fan. Not only did I love him as a player, but I was lucky. I got to know him a little bit, and, you know, he texted.
Oh, you guys are friends.
I'm joking. I guess I did text Cargo a little bit here and there. Just a great guy. He used to hold this auction bowling tournament that I was lucky to go to a couple times. You ever go to that? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay. But he would...
I wasn't friends with him, though.
No, that's true.
I never got that text.
That's true. You would love him. You would love hanging out with him. Do you know Cargo?
No.
Maybe you do. Well, great dude. Everybody says it, and the crowd certainly appreciated him last night. Pretty cool, right?
Weird, but cool.
Yeah. Good moment.
The team, I know Patrick Saunders, we had him on yesterday. We were talking about how they made the right baseball move, but they haven't replaced Cargo in terms of that leadership in the clubhouse.
All right, and but
you
can
gloss
leadership
over it, but there isn't. He mentioned Daniel Murphy's coming. You know, he's going to be a leader, and David Dahl, but you had leadership. You had it with Cargo, you had it with DJ, and you had it with Ottavino in the bullpen. And those three guys were financially attainable. Like, DJ got the same money that Daniel Murphy got.
What do you think leadership looks like or matters in baseball?
I think they spend so much time together that other sports are different. Football's different because it's almost like three different teams, special teams, offense, and defense. They spend so much time together, and there are so many different ruts that teams go through. Losing streaks, 0-for streaks, things like that, that a veteran player who has the ear of the younger guys can help.
Okay.
I think baseball,
it's not
rah-rah. Right. It's completely different.
Right.
But it's more of a mental leadership.
Okay. I can go with you there because,
look, if you're stuck, if you're a young player, if you're David Dahl and you're stuck in an 0-for-20 rut and it's all between the ears, wouldn't it be great to have the sounding board of a guy like Cargo to talk to?
Yes,
despite him hitting .210?
It's better if he's hitting .280. But
yes. I agree.
Because if he's going through his own issues, then he's hardly going to be the guy that you can lean on. See, like, Todd was an interesting leader.
He's a guy that went through it, though. He's been through all of that.
Todd was always so, you must have been friends with Todd Helton.
No. What do you think?
You think
I text everybody?
No.
Because that's friendship.
But you and Todd have a lot of similar qualities. You did, well, not the bad ones. But more like the kind of, you're tough on yourself.
Most athletes are.
Yeah. And
there's only one on the Broncos I know that is not. GB. Everything's fine.
No, he's getting the toy. Sunny day. He's getting a lollipop. Every day is a lollipop day for GB. He's special. The thing about Todd is if somebody's already down on themselves, then it's not going to be necessarily who you're going to go to or you're going to draw from to lift you up. I know what you're saying, though.
But when I was young, Schlereth, Habib, these were like older players that played next to me that I could kind of rely on to say, what am I doing wrong? Because, you know, you could go to the coach and he can tell you the generic, oh, you need to do this and that.
Yeah.
It's, you know, just block your guy. But hearing it from another player that's been through it all,
yeah,
and has had bad games.
Yeah. And is still willing to say, hey, it's going to be all right. You're going to be okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure that does mean a lot.
This has happened to all of us. I wouldn't ask Zim because it never happened to him. But in baseball, it's such a mental game.
You know who's a great guy? Was Gerardo Parra was a great guy like that.
That's another guy they lost.
I know.
They lost maybe not stats-wise, but just glue-type players that, I think the fans in Denver were probably, the first couple of years of Parra were probably dissatisfied because he did come here with a decent contract and expected a lot out of him. But that guy just, he enjoyed being at the park.
Mm-hmm.
The players enjoyed being around him. And when you're going through a long season like that.
But the problem is you can't be a vacuum suck yourself. And there were just too many times, unfortunately, near the end with Cargo that it was just, you know, we just needed more production out of him himself.
And they had younger players they wanted to play, like David Dahl and other guys.
I'm actually amazed that the Cubs are in this
position. But they haven't replaced them with, I mean, is Daniel Murphy really that guy?
He's one of them for sure. He's one of those type of guys, yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. Has to be. He has to be one of those guys. He better be one of those guys. I know he's got his own wacky baggage that he carries too. But he's got to be one of those guys.
I know Nolan and depended on these older guys, enjoyed being around them.
And now it's time. It's his turn.
That's not his.
Well, too bad.
You can't force someone to.
Tough luck. You got to develop it. You got to try your best to develop it. There's just too much on you for you not to have any elements of that. And I know what you're saying, because I don't think it comes all that naturally to Nolan.
No, he's a little awkward.
Like, Tula was the worst at this stuff. I mean, it just never fit him whatsoever. Charlie's just an interesting dude, you know? And Trevor Story is a real quiet guy. He's not that type of guy either.
Right. You haven't. There's nobody. There's a void.
It's Daniel Murphy.
But that was a guy that a month ago was hitting below 200.
Yeah, I know.
He was injured.
Yep. Who else is it?
There isn't anyone. That's my point. You lost four guys.
Patty Barrels, when they call him up.
He's still batting 69, I think. Chris Iannetta?
Could be, yeah. And actually,
but he's not even the everyday catcher.
No, but, you know, Walters could be sort of that guy, too, even though he's looked at as somewhat of a underdog sort of dude.
Can you take him seriously?
I take Tony Walters very seriously.
The stash.
It's a little goofy. But I take him seriously.
That's my mentor.
All right. It is weird that you have a bet with your father-in-law that's gone this long. It seems like a weird commitment to branding that is unusual. Cargo had it. There's other guys that just have it. Cargo was one of those guys that had it. He bonded everybody together.
Para had it. Despite, even if he wasn't playing. Because by the end, he wasn't every day.
I think Ottavino did have it. I think he was one of those guys.
DJ, too.
He didn't talk. He was
to his teammates.
Yeah. No, not really.
Yeah. Nolan liked him.
Nolan likes everybody.
Depended on him.
Nolan liked Tula.
In the field.
Listen, if you want to just make the argument DJ's because he's a great player, fine. But he wasn't a kind of a vocal, you know, sort of lead. He was just a great player. You can never have too many great
baseball's
players.
Baseball's not vocal. It's behind the scenes. It's in the clubhouse. Very, very little. It was a couple years ago when Nolan went off in the dugout. What was that, two seasons ago in L.A.?
Mm-hmm.
That's about as vocal as you ever see a baseball player towards his teammates.
So do you think the loss of...
It's a combination of all the guys, but Cargo, to me, was... He's number one,
so
but
you
weren't getting the production. I understand that.
Oh, okay. Because what, like...
He's working on a minor league deal right now.
What's that scale? Well, how much is leadership worth?
Look, there was a point in the season where half the lineup was hitting 200.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Cargo's hitting. So what did we really lose?
The development, it's more of a baseball thing. You know, defining leadership and keeping guys on a team for those qualities, that's a tough one. Like, should the Broncos have cut T.J. Ward?
Not during training camp.
So he makes it to training camp, he's good the rest of the year?
If he's able to contribute in some way.
You would have kept him?
Yes. Either that or you cut him in March. Because now this guy's a big presence in that DB room.
Yeah.
And then the middle of training camp, you cut him. It leaves a void. There's not enough time to fill the void.
It seems like a mistake now for sure. You lost the team when you did it. So perhaps you're right. I think the parameters of leadership and all that stuff in football, though, is a lot different than baseball. Because baseball has so many individual elements to it, more so.
Yeah,
than
but
football.
It's so mental, and I just think the veteran guys that have been there, done
yeah,
that.
Like, you know, like Vinny Castilla's in the locker room every day. Like,
but he's
that's,
not.
That's what his job is. That's his.
He's like a player liaison. He's not a teammate.
Okay, but
these guys
still,
didn't play with Vinny.
Yeah, but you can't. That's not an effective person to go to.
Mark Reynolds would be the guy that go to. That'd be the guy. First of all, great dude. Second of all, has struck out more than anybody. So there's a guy that knows how to get in and out of ruts.
If anybody knows failure, that guy. Yeah, but he's hanging on for dear life.
I just
right
think
now.
It's weird. It's weird seeing Cargo in another uniform now, two uniforms in you know, the course of 5 months.
It's remarkable to me that the Cubs are in a position where he's playing. But, you know, sometimes that happens. We got Mark Reynolds. For a while until Toglia, what a stud that kid is, by the way.
Pedro Gomez call him Tolia?
Like it is Tolia.
The G is silent?
The G is silent. It is Tolia. My bad. It is Tolia. Did you see this kid swing the bat at all for UCLA?
My college baseball knowledge is...
Dude, this guy...
Very minor.
I didn't realize he was a switch hitter. Yeah. Wait till we get this guy up and running in a couple years. Holy cow.
Really? All the reports, I saw him... What did the Rockies draft him, 23rd?
Yeah.
He was the 51st ranked prospect. He has a good glove. Adds a little bit of power. To me, it was a huge reach.
No way. No way.
Look at the pre-draft on this guy.
You watched him
against Michigan.
I've watched him all year, but I just didn't realize who I was watching.
You watched him rank against another Rockies prospect.
Against a Michigan pitcher, yeah.
Wait, pitched great.
Awesome.
It's a bad thing, too, you know.
No, it's a good thing. It's always a good thing. What are you talking about?
Knocking around a Rockies prospect pitcher?
He wasn't knocking him around. It's like a one-run game.
It was a big spot.
Well, he came up big in that spot.
Yeah, but the Rockies pitching prospect did not.
Michigan won the series. What are you and yelling at each other about?
College baseball.
KKFN, KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver.
If the Golden State Warriors were up 3-1, KD would not have returned. But since they were down 3-1, he was forced to return based on all of the chatter that we knew was going to take place. He saw...
Kevin had it's an Achilles injury. I don't know the extent of it. He'll have an MRI tomorrow prior to...
Take that off his iPad.
All right, it's fantastic.
The GM tearing up over KD and you're playing that.
Kevin had it. It's an Achilles injury. Let me tell you something about Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant loved to play basketball.
What?
And the people that questioned whether he wanted to get back to this team were wrong.
Who were those people, by the way? Who was the person that questioned that?
A lot of NBA fans.
Really?
Are not fans of Kevin Durant when he left
his department.
OKC. And you know that, right?
Let me tell you something about Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant loved to play basketball.
Man.
And the people that questioned whether he wanted to get back to this team were wrong.
That's my power forward.
He's one of the most misunderstood people. He's a good teammate. He's a good person. It's not fair. I'm lucky to know him.
Boy, it's
nice deflection.
It's fun to hear a GM.
You forced him to play.
Yeah. Now he's kissing his butt so he signs a new contract so you can open up your new arena in San Francisco, which is going to cost you $1 billion. Because the owners are like, what are you doing, GM? Get Durant out there. This billion-dollar palace isn't going to open itself.
They can get him on the cheap now.
Well, I was just going to ask you, do you think so? Did he cost himself any money with a potential Achilles injury?
No. I think teams will still willing to sign him for the future. He could do with a year off, too.
Best thing about the Rockies beating the Cubs yesterday.
Outside of the win, Ian Desmond's home run. That was, you know, when Drew makes his call, that you won't see that one for long, was accurate. Bomb.
How's Desmond hitting, by the way, these days?
240, 242.
Hey, how about that? Take that. 242 with power? Sign me up. Love it. If he's hitting 242, he could hit 275. He's not that far from it. That's good.
He could also hit 200. He's not far from that either. He is heating up, though.
I like
he's
where it's
coming
going.
Up with clutch hits.
Yep.
Meaningful hits.
You're not throwing up a little bit in your mouth every time he comes to the plate, are you?
Not anymore.
That's right. It's an improvement.
He probably talked to Mark Reynolds about it.
He probably talked to Mark Reynolds.
Or maybe he talked to Cargo over the last week or so. 246.
See, he just got better.
Well, that one for one bumped him up.
It's not going to bump you down hitting 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Broncos schedule is out. Starts July 18th. No scheduled walkthroughs in the afternoon, but that could change. There's a stadium practice July 27th. There are several, five to be specific, afternoon practices. Well, I guess if they were practicing right now, they'd be fine, right? They'd be done. It'd be a perfect day. There are probably only three or four lightning delays in the past 2 hours. We're not impacted by lightning delays here in the studio. We are good. Like, it can lightning outside, and we can just do the show. We can keep doing it.
The teams have gotten practices in the afternoon.
It does.
The sky is not falling.
It does occasionally happen.
There can be a little delay.
Sure. Of course.
I prefer a delay over going inside.
You realize, though, as soon as there's a lightning warning, all the fans have to leave immediately. You realize that, though, right? It's over. It's done. One lightning delay ends. They're not going to reopen it. It's just done. Just keep that in mind if you're thinking about going to one of the five afternoon practices. That's all.
No, the four. Go to the one at Mile High, the fifth one. The one on the 27th.
Could be a lightning delay for that too.
Yeah, you can go in. You can go underneath.
That's probably true. Yeah, you're right about that.
But that's a practice worth going
to. They don't send anybody to their car when they're at the stadium, do they?
No.
Because the concession stand is open.
Yeah.
I mean, the lightning.
That's not free.
No. The lightning's only so dangerous. We're going to sell beers here at fill in blank sponsor Broncos Stadium at Mile High. Emmanuel Sanders will be here tomorrow at 5 o'clock. What are you curious to find out from Emmanuel?
Well, I'm curious to know if I have to be here.
Yes, you do, of course.
I'd like to know how his Achilles is after, a day after those routes that he's posting.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's at. Is he expected to full go July 18th? You know, he's going into the last year of his contract. What is he... You know, does he want to be in Denver? Is he gone after this year? I don't know if that's even appropriate to ask him. But could you?
No, yes.
I'll let you do that one.
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I mean, he's up. He's a free agent.
Well, he's not the only one.
Well, no, but he's the only one in studio.
Well, that's right.
I'm not going to ask him about Chris Harris or Derek Wolfe or Adam Gotsis or any Joe Flacco could possibly be up.
Yeah. But
there's plenty of guys.
He's specifically up. It's done. Flacco technically has 2 years. I mean, I know they can let go.
Right, but the other guys
Gotsis
are all up.
Is up.
Derek Wolfe.
Wolfe is up. Harris is up. Yeah, it's a legitimate question. What do you see yourself doing next year? Be honest about it. I think he will be. I think that's the first of all, this rehab, the questions about his rehab to me seem a little redundant at this point because it just appears to be going so well.
Yeah, but it wasn't, a month ago where he said, I'm not behind, I'm not ahead.
Yeah.
I'm just on schedule.
Yeah, but he was not shy about coming up to a couple of us and saying things are going well. He's not shy about posting some videos. I think things are wherever he's supposed to be. I'll be surprised on July 18th if he's not just... It's just practice time.
He looks full go on the videos.
That's for sure, yeah.
Now, there's off days worked in here, but you'd think 18th he'd practice, 19th, probably get the 20th off.
Yeah, but a lot of vets get like that vet day off in camp. That's nothing unusual. That's a smart thing to do just in general. Then he would practice on the 21st, 22nd, off day.
I'm going to ask him if he's friends with you. Does texting
count
once or twice a year make you friends?
Yeah. To me, it does. Once or twice a year. I'll take once every 4 or 5 years. You know, there's people that have texted me in the past hour that are very excited that we are friends because I just give out my phone number on the air. 719-229-8152. You can be my friend. I'm not going to do anything with you. You know, I got a lot of invites, you know, to go do things.
Your friendships are strictly
text
driven.
Yeah. I'm never going to socialize with you. But I don't even socialize with people that I really like. Like, I think I like you.
Eh.
We haven't socialized since we started doing the show.
No, we're not friends. We're coworkers who text.
That kind of hurts. And you cut me to
I told
core.
You.
Cut me to the quick. Invite me out then.
You go out drinking with someone.
Go ahead. Go ahead. What's stopping you?
We need to go to the party deck.
What's stopping you? The party at
the
rooftop?
Party deck. Dick's deck. That would be friendship. First of all, it's a commitment.
It is a commitment. It's all the way downtown.
Second of all, you're drinking a lot.
Do we have to go all the way downtown?
Well, that's where the deck is.
I know, but it seems like a lot of effort.
I've never been up there. I'd like to get up there.
You've never been to the rooftop?
No. It's only, 4 years old or so?
When do you want to go?
Oh, the Red Sox do come in August.
I got my Hollywood friends.
You're not a Red Sox fan, though, right?
I'm a Rockies fan. I don't root against the Red Sox, but I'm a Rockies fan.
Who you'll be cheering for in August?
The Rockies.
I think they come the 26th and 27th, two game.
You know how I know that for a fact? Because I took my two kids and my wife, who I definitely am friends with. And no.
Get her side of that.
For sure. Well, that's a good point. And we were there for the Giambi walk-off when they beat the Red Sox.
The text line is asking for that number again.
719-229-8152. See, I'm getting a bunch of stuff, right? See that? Random number. D-Mac is my friend. Here's another one. What's up, buddy? There's just a couple.
You gotta be kidding me. I
will never call you back, by the way. I'm never going to call you back.
Are you going to text back?
Oh, for sure.
What are you going to talk about?
D-Mac is my friend. I'll be like, no doubt. Besties. There it is.
Come on, man.
Right there. Got a new friend.
Those aren't friends.
What up, buddy? Chillin'. You?
Meet us at the party deck.
Yeah.
No? That's too much?
I mean, you got to park. You gotta
we'll take the light rail in.
The light rail? Are you nuts? Gotta see people. Seeing people is always such a drag.
See people, humans.
Oh, everybody wants to know how you're doing. And it's like, oh, okay. Put on a show. Here's a show.
What? What are you worried? You're gonna be like noticed, recognized? Is this a fear of yours?
It's not a fear. Wow. It's just, it happens.
I'd never, 15 years playing football here, I would go anywhere. Never had the fear of ever getting noticed.
Yeah.
A conversation.
You will
it
now.
Never happened.
You're on the fan. So now it'll happen. Certain power to this radio station, my friends. Power that makes me want to just order DoorDash at night.
Man, you've become a hermit.
Kind of, yeah.
Happy, recluse.
Happy am I? I'm not getting like milk jugs around, like the aviator. But you know, it's I like being at home. Not gonna lie,
I like being at home too. But I like seeing people once in a while.
Once in a while, I
go out with my wife, and you can't really drink. I mean, somewhat.
Tommy, name the day. Let's go to the rooftop. Name it.
I said the Red Sox. That's in the middle
August,
of training camp, though.
Like,
your phone is ringing.
Yeah.
That's another friend.
But I'm not ever going to call him back. Ever. But text is fine.
Not the Red Sox. I don't want to go that game because the Rockies will win both.
Do you care about actually watching the game?
Yes. That's why baseball is perfect.
Well, the rooftop is the worst place in the world to go.
You can drink your face off and watch the game all at the same time.
Why is drinking so important to you?
It's a part of baseball.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And also, it's a bonding experience. It's like truth serum.
Can't, like, bond over it like Del Frisco's?
That's a little fancy.
No, it's not. Not in, like, the back area.
The cigar lounge?
Yeah. Let's bond there.
Play the piano a little bit?
I'd be happy to. I could tinkle some ivories.
I can play Anchors Away. That's it.
You cannot.
Anchors Away?
Can you seriously?
On the piano?
Really?
Anchors, it's simple.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you use your left hand, or is it just? Are we just doing pecking out single notes?
No, it's dun, dun, dun,
single notes, like you type?
Yeah.
Okay. Not really playing the piano. It's just
Does this confirm the Raiders are in Hard Knocks?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Let's get back to stuff that matters. The Raiders are in Hard Knocks.
Fantastic.
What do you think about that?
That just confirms the sweep that I predicted the Broncos would do. Has a team ever done well?
After being on Hard Knocks?
Better than expected on Hard Knocks?
They're definitely more likable. Like, people are definitely into the team.
Yeah,
more.
But those guys, the likable guys, usually get cut.
Dolphins, no.
Bengals?
Bengals, no. Jets, no. Jets have done it a couple times, haven't they? Cowboys, no.
There's a reason why the NFL has basically forced it. There are lots of rules.
Yeah, the Broncos.
Everybody wants to turn it down, but the NFL has instituted rules.
Right.
I forget what that. You had to have been out of the playoffs for a couple of years, or without a new coach. There's a lot of parameters that force.
Right.
So I think there were five possible teams.
Like the Broncos
that
were
fit that criteria.
The Broncos were a strong contender last year.
Because Vance was in his second year.
Yes.
They wouldn't do it with rookie coach.
Nope. Can't be too good. They're not going to...
You can't be a playoff team from the year before. I think it had to do with if you made the playoffs in the last 2 years, you were exempt
from the
NFL foisting Hard Knocks upon you.
I'm just really quickly. Here's...
Is that another friend?
31 texts that I have right there. I don't know if you can read that or not, but that's 31 on the text. It's 31 new friends. 32.
They're not your friends. You did say tinkle instead of tickle. Tinkle the ivories, you said.
Yeah.
That's tickle.
No, it's tinkle.
It's tickle.
Oh, it is tickle, isn't it? Well, I tinkle on
tinkle.
The
what are you, peeing on it?
Still got a little bit of a cough, can you tell? I think Hard Knocks, I wish the Broncos were on Hard Knocks. I love it. I love Hard Knocks. I'm a big Hard Knocks fan.
Dallas was on it.
On it a couple times.
I think they were on it the year that we went down there and practiced against them. Or no,
they
up
came
here. They came here.
They came here, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That was when T.O. had some sort of t-shirt. Remember?
You remember that dude, those practices?
Yeah,
T.O.,
great.
That dude busted his butt out there.
Yeah.
I was like, go watch that dude.
Yeah.
All receivers, go watch him. Before practice, after practice.
Yeah.
The dude was ripped, practiced hard.
Had special t-shirts. He was giving away his special T.O. t-shirts. Joe Flacco has a t-shirt line.
Browns were on it last year,
yes.
Well, they did do better.
They
fired the coach, though. Right. There was some dysfunction coming out of Hard Knocks.
Oh, Hard Knocks last year, like, the coach's, like, sister died during training camp. It was horrible. Yeah, it was a big deal. It showed them being buddy-buddy, Dorsey and Hugh Jackson. But, I mean, this is the idiot who didn't win any games the year before, who decided not to start the number one overall pick. I mean, how dumb can you be?
He's trying to save his job. Maybe he felt like...
Trying to save his job. They just...
Tyrod...
First of all, they kept you. Unbelievably, you were kept. After not winning any games. That is amazing. I mean, literally anybody could have done a better job than you. You won no games. Anybody could have done that. They draft Baker Mayfield. And to a certain degree, they went out on a limb. Although they were completely convinced he was the guy. And they were right. you got Tyrod Taylor there, who's fine, nice enough guy. But it's no doubt it's time for you to give the team to Baker Mayfield. Period. If you want to mess around for
not a, if you're trying to save your job. If you're trying to build
save your
if
job.
You're trying to build the team, Baker Mayfield's the guy.
Well,
to do it.
What do you think? The GM or the owner are gonna have a problem with you playing Baker Mayfield? Are you nuts? Save your job, play Baker Mayfield.
I'd defer to the veteran quarterback.
Yeah,
well, win some games.
Well, you're fired.
Well, that's what happened.
Okay.
I'd be wrong.
That's right. And fired. That to me was the stupidest thing. And then you have the arrogance to just start going on TV and doing appearances and trying to prop. I haven't. Hugh Jackson may be one of the most arrogant dudes around. And I understand he's trying to save his career and his job and the whole thing. But I am not surprised Baker Mayfield was throwing him under the bus and had bad things to say about him. I don't blame him. Hugh Jackson's just disingenuous, man. It's like a phony. That was good, though.
He probably has friends.
I don't know who he texts. I'm going to enjoy the Raiders, though. Watching Gruden's going to be fun.
Look at the characters.
It's awesome.
Perfect.
Antonio Brown.
Richie Incognito.
Carr is a character. He's an interesting guy. He's not a quiet guy. The relationship between Mayock and Gruden, that's going to be interesting to see how they work together, for sure.
It's Mayock's first training camp.
The inevitability of them leaving Oakland, that's kind of interesting. How the fans feel about it. That's a good one, man. That's a good pull. You'll find yourself, you know, kind of bizarrely rooting for the Raiders.
Who's that? Me?
Just people in general.
No, there's always feel good stories during training camp, but those guys always get cut.
They'll have a George Aston, undrafted fullback, white guy. I don't know. It'll be cool. That's a good one, man. I'm excited to hear that news today. Gruden's gonna be. I do you think Gruden knows what he's doing?
From what? As a football coach?
Third year with the Raiders. Does he know what he's doing?
Like he's forgotten how to coach?
Does he know what he's doing?
He's tied to Derek Carr. Guys won a Super Bowl.
He did. Somebody else's
with
team.
Tony Dungy's team.
He won it, yeah. Tony put a good team together, and he shepherded it right through. Does he know what he's doing?
I think from a quarterback standpoint, I think he knows football. He's a character. I think his team players would like him. He's pretty positive. I mean, the difference is can you develop the talent?
Yeah.
It's not so much about the head coach.
The head coach inevitably becomes a big character, though, in all these shows.
He already is a character.
Yeah.
But does he know what he's doing? I'd say, yeah. He's a coach in the NFL. He was sought after, despite being out of the league for a long time.
I'm not sure he knows what...
Raiders...
I'm not sure he knows what he's doing.
Did he sign, like, a 10-year, $100 million... They're giving him, like, 10 a year?
Yes. A lot of job security there for him. It's a fascinating situation because you get a redo no matter what, because this is it in the Oakland area. It's actually kind of a miracle they're even going to be in Oakland for another season. But no matter what happens, all sins will be forgiven no matter what the day they pack up the moving trucks and go to Vegas. And you get to start all over again. No matter what, wherever you are, it's a brand new start. It's a great position for a coach. Because you really can screw everything up.
No, this is if he didn't have that contract, it would be a terrible position for a coach.
Because but he does have that contract.
A fresh start, Mayock, for him too, if these draft picks, and he had a bunch of them, he had three first rounders, they could be completely fresh start. Gruden does have that contract, but if you're just a generic coach with a 3 or 4 year contract and you have a lousy season and you want to get the fan base in Vegas excited, you're cleaning house.
Who wins more games this year, the Broncos or the Raiders?
Do I think the Raiders are going to win 11 or more games? No. So I would say the Broncos.
You know, did you hear Nick Ferguson? I got some Nick Ferguson from today.
So your reason for optimism stems largely from Vic Fangio and this staff. You believe this staff, this head coach, automatically improves this team by what?
I mean,
one win, two wins, three wins, four wins, what?
I would dare to say five wins.
Five wins?
Well, because here's what you have to understand.
They were 6-10 last year. You're saying just because of the coaches, this has the potential to be an 11-win team.
Exactly.
Okay.
And here's the reason for what I'm saying, and as crazy as that sounds, you know, I'm a firm believer in attitude reflecting leadership.
Boy, you were in the lead, Tommy. You were in the lead at 10-6, and now
I have said.
Now you're in second 10 place.
10 wins or better.
Well, but Nick's got them at 11.
Based on just the head coach.
Yes. Duh.
So if Vic Fangio was the coach last year, this team is 11-5 last year? No way in hell.
Okay. I'm just saying. You were Captain right. Sunshine, so Nick is going up.
He's given them a 5-win bump based on the head coach, and he hasn't factored into the draft and free agency. Who they've gained, who they've lost.
I'm not saying any of it makes sense. I'm just saying there's somebody on the station who's more optimistic
than
you.
Wasn't I, like, for a month slammed because I thought
by
the Broncos
everybody
should win at least 10 games?
Yes. Now he's jumped ahead
of
you.
In Nick's defense, he had to get up really early. He's usually 9-12 with the blitz with Nick Ferguson. This was 6-9 with Evans and Schlereth. So maybe he was tired. Maybe he got his numbers mixed up. But I can't believe that Vic Fangio, a first-year head coach, is going to instantly, just because of him and the coaching staff, with Scangarello as a first-time offensive coordinator, give him 5 wins.
When we come back.
I said 1 or 2 based on that to get him to 500.
You got your high five? I got a great high five today. I know you were disappointed.
U.S. women's soccer team?
You're going.
Oh, no.
You're going in the right direction.
Thailand, the country.
Oh boy, was I wrong on that? I said the population of Thailand was like Oregon.
Mm.
There's only 4 million people in Oregon. Apparently, there's like 69 million people in Thailand. Whoopsie. They should be better. But I got a great high five. I hope you got one too. This is going to be the best part of the show, and it's happening next.